right now, it's our largely libertarian thinker, Eric Crampton, chief economist with the New Zealand Initiative. Heavens, what happened there, Tony? It's not even Tony, it's Eric. Are you there, Eric?
I sure am. Good evening.
Right. Okay. Let's see if I can get my brain back and control of my lips, tongues, and teeth. Supermarkets. See, I'm quite excited about this one. This is one we can get our teeth into here. The Commerce Commission recently said it studied and I think came up with a conclusion that there is not enough competition or a lack of competition in the supermarket sector. We need another one, another supermarket chain.
Possibly. Yeah, so the Commerce Commission has these new market study powers that let them take a really broad look at different sectors and see what's going on. So their draft report they released months and months ago, and they've had a submissions process after that and then some conferences ongoing from it. There were some really neat bits in that report, and I really wish that that had been where they'd started rather than just sort of an ancillary part. So the Commission's Chapter 6 went through just how difficult it would be to open up a supermarket in New Zealand. So prior to that, they had all of these really technical bits on, well, what are grocery prices like here compared to other places? And some of that hinges on really technical stuff around which exchange rate you might want to use. Is it a purchasing power parity one or just a raw exchange rate? How do you want to think about land costs when you're calculating weighted cost of capital and returns on investment? All technical stuff. And people can argue the toss over it. But then you get to Chapter 6, and they start thinking, well, really, could someone even open a supermarket chain here if they wanted to? Well, let's think about what would be needed to do that. If somebody wanted to open up a new supermarket chain to compete with the two big players that are already in there, well, first they're going to have to find a pile of sites to open supermarkets. And the commission said that Kiwis seem to like doing these big shops. They want to drive out to a supermarket, fill up the back of the car with groceries, and then drive home. Now, markets might change. People might pick up more online shopping yet, and that would make competition a bit easier. But if you want to have entry into sort of traditional grocery, you need a larger footprint site. And there just aren't that many places that are zoned for it. Now, the commission didn't go through and actually quantify how many sites are zoned for it, but it kind of looks like there aren't very many left. So city councils, when they're doing their planners aren't really thinking about competition when they're setting out what's going to be allowed where. Instead, they're thinking about population projections and transport needs and saying, well, if there's this many people in this area, they're going to need a supermarket, so we'll allow there to be room for one supermarket. And we won't worry about whether that creates a local monopoly or not. They're not leaving room for competition in the plans. So a lack of competition is baked into sort of the operating systems that our cities work on, the city plans. So first, they don't zone enough land for large footprint retail like supermarkets. Then what sites there are that aren't already supermarkets, those can get tied up in covenants, where if the site used to be a supermarket and a supermarket player wants to sell it off for some other purpose, or they don't need to have a site there anymore, they can put an encumbrance on the title pretty easily saying, oh, and by the way, you're not allowed to use this property as a supermarket. Now it means that the site will sell for a little bit less money, but they can be happy to take that. And it can wind up working if council has set the rule such that very, very few sites can be a supermarket.
So can I interrupt you there, Eric, a moment? Because I'm curious about that covenant and whether that...
Yeah.
So that's something... Could a law change at least remove that power of a supermarket or a business saying wouldn't even need a law change?
And all that would have to happen is the Commerce Commission determining that those covenants are anti-competitive in effect and intention, and they could go through a process to void them. I think one of the supermarket chains has said that they're just going to get rid of these on their own. I'm not sure whether the other one has also said that, but at least one of them has indicated they're going to be voiding the covenants, recognizing that restrictions on entry are a potential problem here. So that's something that can get fixed. Now, the underlying problem is still a lack of land zoned for supermarkets, because you can imagine if zoning said you could have a supermarket anywhere in a whole city, it'd be impossible to buy up and encumber like the whole city to prevent it from turning into supermarkets, right? You can only do that if a very limited number of sites are allowed to be supermarkets. So the Commerce Commission noted there's going to be some problems because there's not enough land zoned for it. And actually, consenting is a problem, too. They talked about one site that had taken like 20 years to get a resource consent to turn into a supermarket. Now, that process started sometime before some relevant RMA changes that might have hastened things, but it's still taking years in many cases to get supermarkets consented. And that's going to be a problem if you're trying to set up a network of supermarkets, because you're going to need to set up transport logistics. You're going to need to have a warehouse in a spot. Where you place the warehouse is going to depend on where all your stores are. You're going to want to sequence your openings to suit your logistics. And if you're operating across dozens of councils, each of which might take anywhere from half a year to a decade to decide whether or not to allow you to have a supermarket, it's going to be almost impossible to plan this out. Right. So it gets real hard, real fast.
Okay, Eric. What about the issue that brought this on in the first place? Because I'm sure a few listeners, more than a few, might say, well, particularly those who've also lived in Australia, might say, well, look, given our standard of living, groceries are a bloody expensive in New Zealand. And is it because there's only two major players in the market?
It's possible, right? But it's hard to tell. So that's where we get into the arguments about which exchange rates you should be using and how to think about cost of capital and how to think about the land costs that are underlying it. That stuff all gets really hard really fast. And you kind of note that everything in New Zealand is expensive relative to other places. What you do know, though, is that if there are super profits to be made in grocery retail, there's a sea of global capital that is looking for places to invest to make money. Right? Global investors want money, they're profit seeking. If there were opportunities for getting a lot of profits in New Zealand in groceries, they would be jumping on that if it were actually possible to do it. And it looks like we've set up legal hurdles, making it effectively impossible for somebody to set up a new grocery chain. I haven't even gotten into the restrictions through the Overseas Investment Office that add another layer of complication. But what makes all of this fun is that the Commerce Commission starts with this problem saying, well, nobody likes grocery prices and it's all too high and markets are a bad thing because they're doing have these bad outcomes. But then underpinning the outcomes that people aren't liking that are leading to sort of populist angst about grocery prices and it might be well-founded, it's that government has set series of rules that make it impossible for a new competitor to come in. So on the one hand, government sets up a set of rules that means that market outcomes are less desirable than people would like. Then it's shocked that market outcomes aren't very good. So they want to have some Kiwi grocer alternative. There were a range of things that came up as potential interventions in the Commerce Commission report, one of which was, let's have a government-backed supermarket.
Yeah.
Chain.
I mean, so maybe like Kiwi Bank. It could be Kiwi Market instead of Kiwi Bank.
Well,
some people would argue
that
Kiwi Bank's been quite successful.
But this one's going to be more like Kiwi Build because the underlying problem is still there. If the government's backing some new entrant into grocery, they have to find sites that are zoned for grocery. They're going to have to deal with all of the resource consenting across all of the councils in exactly the same way that anybody else would have to deal with it. If you solve the underlying problem of government barriers to letting people run grocery stores, you wouldn't even have to be thinking about this.
There is another possibility here. Eric, because, you know, when these stories came out, my gut reaction, just my personal gut reaction was, do we really need another supermarket chain with all its car parks? I mean, one of the things, and okay, here's my bias, right? You know, I'm a cyclist, yeah. and I don't want to use the car any more than I already do. We only got one car, and I was out shopping in Petone the other day, and I realized all the retail outlets, they're all based on massive car parks. Everyone's coming in a car. And, you know, I know that's the market. You know, that's what most people use. And so, of course, you want car parks so that people can come and come to your business. But if there was an alternative that was a retail chain that was focused on people who don't need, sure, isn't focused on the car as a driver, yeah, of business, being part of the business model, that would be something that I would maybe, as a taxpayer, I would be interested in the government considering that as an alternative, but not another supermarket chain like what we've already got.
How about instead of having the government consider what should be allowed, we instead have government get out of the way so that when people see these market opportunities, they can come in. So Aldi gives the kind of shopping experience that you're talking about, right? They're a smaller footprint shop, often located in urban centers without having big parking. Now, government has done something very good. They've said that we can no longer have minimum parking requirements. That's helpful. Supermarkets will only put in parking then if they see that their customer base wants it. Places like Aldi often don't. They would still hit all of the overseas investment barriers, the overseas investment office that makes it really hard. And this gets even crazier and worse. Some of the consenting requires that you prove you're not going to be competing too much with other supermarkets. Now, this sounds insane, and it is insane, but I was looking through these consenting applications for supermarkets as part of all of this, and there was one in Auckland just a few months ago where the supermarket that wanted to open, they commissioned some economic consultants to prove that if they opened, the competition that their supermarket provided to some other supermarkets that were not too far away wouldn't be so great as to reduce the amenities that are provided in these other centers. They had to prove that they wouldn't be competing too much to be allowed in on the resource consent in the first place.
Eric,
now, how is Aldi going to show that?
Well, Eric, is that because business people were good at lobbying councils and the local business community thought, well, let's make sure we don't get another big player coming in here and taking undermining our margins. So they lobbied the council and the council put those rules in?
It's going to be a mix of things. So this was a fast-track resource consenting process that came in with under COVID that they were applying through, which also tells you that the standard process is even worse. Otherwise, they would have gone through the standard process. But this is just baked into resource consenting under the RMA that the amenity effects on other places have to be considered a relevant effect that has to be mitigated in resource consenting under the RMA. Competition is a harm to be mitigated under the RMA rather than a benefit to be sought. Isn't it weird that we have 2 weeks of Commerce Commission hearings beating up on supermarket chief executives rather than beating up on council planners and a planning apparatus that says the competition is a bad thing that we need to stop, right? You got one part of government that's trying to break up the supermarkets to force there being more competition, and another part of government that says the competition is a horrible thing and we should try and stop it through resource consenting.
Okay, Eric.
Like, those two don't work together.
We got 3 minutes, Eric, so I want to ask
sure.
you, if we want to say the idea of, rather than just another foodstuffs, another new world versus countdown, another one that's just like that, something that's smaller, that has the advantage, A, of maybe not needing so much car-driven traffic, and we are trying to reduce our reliance on cars a little bit, even if it's not just because we're worried about fossil fuels. Everyone goes electric. We've still got a lot of bit of sprawl maybe that maybe we don't want so much of. The other thing is that a smaller chain could probably set up faster and start creating competition sooner than another big monolith. So what can we do in 3 minutes, Eric, to facilitate that? What do we need to change now?
Well, what I would actually love to see is the enabling housing legislation that's just under negotiation between Labor and National. They had bipartisan agreement on it, and now it's kind of up in the air with the change in National's leadership. That legislation would allow building up to three stories and three houses on a property by right. Our submission on that from the initiative said, yeah, this is great, but say, and a supermarket as well. Imagine if the default zoning weren't just residential with up to three houses of three stories, but mixed use, so that people could put in developments that had ground floor retail, little shops, little greengrocers, bakers, everything else, and then a couple of layers of apartments or townhouses above that. That could enable sort of the 15-minute city stuff to emerge rather than being forced on anybody. It would just emerge because as more people live in a place, more retail can be supported. And so long as the zoning doesn't ban it, developers would see the profit opportunity and make room for it.
But no need for a Kiwi market. No need for a government player.
Well, I've not seen anywhere in the world where that helps anything.
Well, what do you... Okay, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Kiwi Bank hasn't been a total flop, has it, Eric?
No, but Kiwi Grocer doesn't really solve any problem. The real problem is that it's impossible to open a new grocery store, and government will hit the same problems in grocery as it hit in Kiwi Build. Kiwi Build didn't address the underlying problem, so it failed to deliver. Kiwi Grocer would have exactly the same outcome.
Eric, it's great talking with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Eric Crampton. Now we'll probably have him back talking more largely libertarian thoughts.